Life is a series of decisions, and the choices we make determine the life we will live. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us about life's greatest decisions.
Let me encourage you to be the kind of a man whose direction is not questioned but is known, that you're not ashamed of Jesus Christ, that you are on the Lord's side, and that when it comes to decisions of your entertainment or your family direction or friendships, that you will make those decisions based upon the fact, will it be known by this decision that I am on the Lord's side?
The road to spiritual maturity is paved with life-changing decisions. In our series, Life's Greatest Decisions, we will discover practical ways to apply God's principles to our everyday lives. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Life is made up of more decisions than we can count, but God desires to give us the wisdom we need to make the right choices. Through today's scriptures, we will be equipped to make choices that bring honor to God and peace to our hearts. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Deciding to Surrender to the Lord.
What does it take to get you to surrender your will to God? What does it take for you to lay down your arms and quit fighting and say yes to God? When you are tempted to sin, do you quickly yield to God? When you are faced with an insurmountable trial, do you quickly come to that place where you say, Lord, I give this to you? Or does it take a while of God's prompting and God's patience and God waiting on you to yield to Him? Today, we will see in the Bible perhaps the most extraordinary example of a yielded person to God that is ever recorded in history. This morning we are going to see Mary completely yielded to the will of God for her life. And it's interesting when we study this story and when we consider the surroundings of this story, for we realize that God is not looking to a person in a special place or to a person of a special class. In fact, Nazareth was a very obscure village in Galilee. Mary was not from a unique family financially or socially, yet she was highly favored by God. Did it ever occur to you that a place is not judged, a person is not judged by its institutions nor by its advantages, but by the righteousness within one's heart or within the borders of a particular place? And when God wanted to do something of the miraculous, He did not choose someone of a socially elitist status. He did not choose someone that perhaps you and I may have chosen. For God looks not on the outward, but God looks on the heart. God saw within Mary a yielded heart, someone that was willing to do His will. And so God sent to Mary an angel. Notice in verse 26 in the Bible, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. God sent a special angel. This angel's name was Gabriel. In fact, 550 years before this time, Gabriel told Daniel that John the Baptist would be born. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Now, when God was ready to send His only Son, the Messiah, God sends Gabriel once again with the message. And God sent Gabriel at a special time, for it was the sixth month after Elizabeth's conception. We see that God had a perfect timetable for this miraculous event. How many of you believe this morning that God is always on time? He's always working according to His timetable. Look in your notes there at Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4, which says, But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Notice that phrase, but when the fullness of time was come. In other words, when God's timetable was perfect, when it was according to His appointed time, God sent forth his son. And notice it says that this son was made of a woman. There is no mention of an earthly father, for this would be the Son of God come to redeem the world from their sin. Yet, this miraculous event, this wonderful plan for the atonement of sin of the world, would be null and void without the surrendered heart of Mary. Had Mary not surrendered her heart, her life, to the will of God, then God's plan of redemption would not go forward. I wondered how many lives God would use you and me to touch. People in your workplace, people in your family, people in your neighborhood. God has a wonderful plan of touching their life through you and through me if we would be yielded unto Him. Thank God that Mary was yielded to the will of God for her life. And today we will learn that God is ready to assume full responsibility for any life that will be totally yielded to Him. Someone says, but if I yielded my life to God, why, what would happen to me? If I yielded my business to God, why, what would happen to it? And God says, I am ready to assume responsibility for that life that is totally yielded unto me. Now, why did Mary surrender in the way that she did? Why was Mary used in such a wonderful and special way? I want you to notice in the first place this morning that Mary had cultivated godliness in her heart. Mary had prior to this time cultivated godliness in her heart. I want you to understand that God does not use men and women who are the kinds of people who say, God, if you want to bless me and use me, then I'm going to start living for you. God, as soon as you start blessing me, I'll start living for you. God is looking for people who all along the normal days of life are cultivating a heart for Him, who are walking with Him. She was a woman who had cultivated a godly walk. Notice two things in particular about Mary. First of all, she was a pure woman. Mary was a pure woman. The Bible says in verse 27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Notice the Bible uses the word virgin two times to remind us of her purity. The Bible says that she was pure, that she knew not a man. Verse 34, Mary said, how shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? Mary was a pure woman. What a tragedy that some Bible translations, instead of using the word virgin, simply speak of Mary as a young woman. You see, there is no doctrine more carefully guarded in the Bible than the doctrine of the virgin birth of our Savior. For if He was not born of a virgin, if He was not conceived of the Holy Ghost, then we would not have the atonement of our sin through the blood that was shed upon the cross. And so we must understand that she was a pure woman. The Bible says in Matthew 1:18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. You see, the birth of God's Son would require a miracle. He could not be born through the natural process where other men are born, for he would come with a miraculous conception. Isaiah himself prophesied this in Isaiah 7:14, where the Bible says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which of course means God with us. Mary was a pure woman. Notice, secondly, Mary was a preferred woman. She was a preferred woman. The Bible says in verse 28, and the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Notice that Mary was highly favored. This means that she was full of grace. She was a woman in whom the graces of God could be readily seen. She was a woman who was sanctified and meet for the Master's use. In other words, her life had been prepared for this moment. Her life, like a clean vessel on the shelf, was ready at any time for God to take and to use. Do you desire God to use your life? Then you must see the necessity of cultivating godliness in the daily walk of your life, so that when God is ready to use you, your life will be pure, your life will be preferred and ready for God to use. Notice the Bible says in verse 28, she was blessed among women. She was a woman blessed among women. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say that she was to be worshiped. And we have Roman Catholic friends who have been taught erroneously the doctrine of Mariolatry, where they pray to Mary and make idols of Mary. Nowhere in the Bible are we told to pray to Mary. Yet we must understand that she is a highly favored woman among women. She was a very godly woman. She had cultivated a godly heart. Now the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Notice that phrase, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Mary wasn't from a fancy town. Mary didn't have fancy things. But one thing Mary had was an exercise unto godliness. She was a pure and a preferred woman. Now then, God comes to Mary. And God sees her heart. And God, secondly, confronted her with the impossible. Notice this, Mary was confronted with the impossible. You know, sometimes in our lives, we might think, well, I'm living for God. I have a good testimony. Why am I faced with this impossible situation? Well, the Bible tells us that Mary was faced with an impossible situation. Notice in verse 29, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Are you ever confronted with seemingly impossible challenges? I mean, you're living your life, you're doing your best, and boom, something comes in your way, and you simply can't understand it. You can't explain how this will ever pass. All of us will face times like that in our life. In fact, many of us will face situations like that. We're going to face some situations that we're not exactly sure how to respond. I think sometimes when you receive certain gifts even, you're not exactly sure what to say when you get those gifts. For example, sometimes you'll receive a gift, I've received them, and you'll say something like, well, now that's a gift. You don't really know what else to say. So you might say, well, I didn't know they made Chia Pet ties to wear like this. Thank you so much. And it's a clip-on, too. What a blessing. Thank you. You might say something like this. I always wanted one of these. Tell me again, what is this? And sometimes you're put in those situations. Sometimes you say that was the last one on the shelf and you snapped it up for me. Way to go. I'm so glad you did that. And then sometimes you'll say something like this. You really shouldn't have. I mean, you really shouldn't have. And you just face those times where you're not exactly sure what to say. You're not exactly sure what to do. Sometimes they're trivial. Sometimes they're huge. They're overwhelming things. Mary was at that place. She was overwhelmed. What was she supposed to say? Mary was troubled by this greeting. The Bible says in verse number 29, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Undoubtedly, she was burdened about what would Joseph say about this? What would her family say about this? What would people think about this? One man asked another man's wife and said, do you think your husband is hard to please? My wife sometimes says I'm hard to please. Do you think your husband is hard to please? And the lady said, I really don't know. I've never tried. But Mary was someone who wanted to please Joseph. She was espoused to Joseph. She was in the betrothal period of their relationship, which in essence was marriage without the physical intimacy. She belonged to Joseph. And now this news, it was troubling to her. Notice also Mary was perplexed by the message of the angel. What was this that he was saying? He said in verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. She was perplexed by the news of this baby. She was being told that she would have a child without knowing a man. She was being told about the news of the baby. She was perplexed by it. She was perplexed by the name of the baby. Imagine being told that you would bring forth a child into the world and that he had already been named. And the Bible says that his name is Jesus. And by the way, I love that name, Jesus, don't you? The name Jesus means he will save. And by the way, he will save. He'll save anyone from their sin. His name is Jesus. And she was told his name. What a wonderful name. I love that name. I try to teach our children to love and respect that name and not to say that name in a slang fashion, not to abbreviate the name and say it in some way that demeans it. It's a wonderful name. And I believe today that while there are many in the ACLU and many in the teachers' unions today who are taking the name of Jesus out of the songs that are sung at Christmas time for our school programs and out of public places, and while there are many who despise that name, they will hear it over and over and over again. It's a wonderful name. It's an easy name, Jesus. Even a child can say that name. You know, in 1 Chronicles, there's a man whose name is Tilgath-Pilneser. In Isaiah, there is a man whose name is Maher Shalal Hashbaz. How many of you are glad his name is Jesus? It's an easy name. It's an esteemed name. You say that name anywhere around the world, and believers and unbelievers alike will pause for a moment, and they'll have to contemplate, who is Jesus? They'll have to ask themselves, did God have a son? This name is an esteemed name. This name is an enduring name. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 21, it is the high and lifted up name of the Bible. This name is an eternal name. And when history ends and all of those who made it are fallen, this name will continue on, for it is an eternal name. This name is an exclusive name. For the Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. His name shall be called Jesus. And we see that Mary was perplexed about the news of the baby and the name of the baby. And she was perplexed about the nature of the baby. Notice what the Bible says in verse 32. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. I very much appreciated the song the young people sang this morning. Oh, that song had it right. When it said of Jesus Christ that from the manger to the cross to the throne of David, Jesus would ascend. I like these songs that have good theology in them, don't you? That tell us about who Jesus really is. That Jesus Christ was born in the manger. That Jesus Christ would die on the old rugged cross. That Jesus Christ will come again and fulfill the Davidic promise that he will rule and reign on the kingdom and throne of David over all of this world. Matthew 1 and verse 1 says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. 2 Samuel 7 and verse 12, and when thy days be fulfilled and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. This is what God says about the throne of David, that it will be established forever by the Lord Jesus. Revelation 19 and verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus did not establish that kingdom at his first advent, but my friend, when he comes again, he will establish the kingdom that was promised unto David. And of his kingdom, the Bible says in verse 33, there shall be no end. How we thank God for the eternal kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Mary, though she was a godly woman, was confronted with this impossible promise. How could this be? How could she be a part of such a wonderful event? How could these things come to pass? And when you are confronted with an impossible situation, when you are confronted with something that is beyond your own ability to understand, what should you do at that moment? I want to show you what Mary did. I want you to notice in the third place that Mary contemplated the power of God. When you face an impossible situation, I encourage you not to look at your bank account. That could be depressing. Not to look at your circle of friends. They could be less than desirable. not to try to figure out in your own wisdom how this could come to pass. When you face the impossible, I encourage you to look at the power of God that is available to you. Notice in verse 35, the Bible says, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." Let's read verse 37 together. Shall we? Ready? Begin. "For with God nothing shall be impossible." One more time. "For with God..." Mary had simply asked the question, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How can this come to pass?" And the bottom line answer was this: with God, nothing shall be impossible. Back in 1986 and 1987, I was the song director for our church. I was the choir leader, and I want you to know the music was good in those days too. Now, it's great now, but it was good back then. One of the songs the choir often sang on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights was a little chorus that said, "Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God." And there will come times in your life when you are faced with the impossible. How can this be? How will this come to pass? And we must remember that with God, all things are possible. I want you to see a verse that's one of my favorites, and I placed it in the notes this morning. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." I want you to know something this morning. God is thinking about you this morning. I want you to know He has thoughts toward you. I want you to know He has a plan for the way He wants your life to end. I want you to know that when Jesus was on the cross, He had you on His mind. I want you to know He cares for you, and He wants you to realize that no matter what your impossible situation, that He is there for you and that He loves you this morning. And so God comes to Mary and He says, "I know it seems impossible, but I want you to know this will happen by my power and by my might." Notice the power of God, first of all, to create. The power of God to create. Notice in verse number 35, "The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee." This immaculate, this miraculous conception would not come after the manner of men, but God's Spirit would activate and God's Spirit would create by the very word of God that was spoken. This miracle would be a miracle that would become a miracle because of the word of God. The Bible says the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. God Himself would superintend in the process. God Himself would see that this conception would be holy and pure and wonderful. Spurgeon said of this wonderful miracle, "He who never began to be, but eternally existed, began to be what he was eternally not, and continued to be what he eternally was." Jesus Christ was God in eternity past. He was God in eternity past. But Jesus Christ began to be what he was eternally not when he was conceived in Mary's womb. And he continued to be what he eternally was as he lived that perfectly sinless life for 33 and one half years. This is what John's gospel speaks of when it says, "And the Word, the eternally preexistent Word, the eternal Word, Jesus Christ, became flesh." And this was what took place when Jesus was born. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father." Someone says, how did that happen? How did eternal God become man? And how was He God and man at the same time? And the answer is because of the power of God. For with God nothing shall be impossible. All things are possible. The power of God to create is clearly seen. But then we must understand, secondly, the power of God to redeem. For God did not bring this wonderful moment to pass without cause or without reason, but it was for the redemption of all men. Verse 35 says it this way, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Jesus Christ was the God-man. He was the Son of God. He had a divine and human nature. And we see that God incarnate came to save the sins of the entire world.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California.
This broadcast is a listener-supported program that exists because of prayers and donations from people just like you. If you make a donation to Daily in the Word, Pastor Chappell would like to send you a copy of his newest book, Paid in Full, as a thank you for your support of our ministry. Thank you for your help in spreading the good news throughout the world.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.